Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Steve Penny, publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. As always, Steve has sent us a number of charts that I will be posting below this interview for you to all follow along. Now, we are going to focus a lot on the precious metals, but we are going to start now with the US dollar, because the dollar and bonds really are the only ones that did well yesterday on Monday. And the US dollar has been grinding its way higher over the last about month and a half, heading up to 2 months now. The most recent low for the dollar on the dollar index was 89.53, and that's a slightly higher low than the low earlier at the very beginning of this year at 89.21. And now the dollar moving up towards that kind of 93 level. In the chart that you shared with us here, Steve, you show that 93.43 as a key initial level because that's where that last peak was in April, and then a whole other level of 94.65. What's your outlook here for the dollar, Steve? Where's it going?
Yeah, so when I look at a longer-term chart for the dollar dating back to March of last year, what I see is a series of lower highs. So the primary trend is still down. However, in the last few weeks here, we did break back above that 200-day moving average, and we've been kind of building out this short-term bullish arc pattern that price has really respected very well dating back to April, so a few months now. We're hugging the right hemisphere of that little support, and the key level, as you mentioned, to watch is 93.43. And the reason that's significant is because if we do get a close above 93.43, that would break that series of lower highs that we're talking about. And right above there, the next resistance is 94.65, and that's a little bit more significant horizontal resistance. So if we can get if the dollar gets above those two levels, which I don't necessarily expect, these are just the levels to watch. You know, that's where you could be talking about, you know, a little bit more upside in the dollar. However, when I look at momentum indicators like the RSI, you do see some negatively divergent higher highs. So what that means is every time the dollar makes a new little high here, the RSI makes kind of a lower high. Now, that's a kind of an indicator that perhaps the momentum is kind of waning here. So that's kind of a long-winded answer, but 93.43 is the big resistance to watch on the dollar.
If that breaks, do you see a big pop coming? Do you see then we just immediately go to that 94.65, and then who knows from there? There's a lot of blue sky above that level.
Yeah, I do. I think if we clear 93.43, we're very likely to test 94.65. I mean, you know, I try not to make predictions, but it is hard for me to envision the dollar clearing 94.65 and embarking on this long-term uptrend, you know, with the fundamental backdrop. But, you know, that's why we look at the charts. I think price and volume precede the news. So I try and let the price charts precede, you know, what the news is telling us. So, you know, while it's hard for me to envision 94.65 being taken out to the upside, anything is possible, and the charts will be our guide.
All right, let's move over to the gold chart then. We have a daily one-year chart for gold. Look, there's a number of annotations on this chart, a head and shoulders pattern that could already have just been formed, that right shoulder. You have a question mark there. We also have a number of downtrend lines, and really the takeaway here is gold still very much in a downtrend, had a nice little rebound recently, but petering out at 90.20 as it did, still below that 1960 level that we saw at the tail end of last year. Simplify this chart a little bit for us here, Steve.
Yeah, you're right. That this chart is a little bit busier than I prefer. I like to keep my charts nice and clean. But at the same time, I want to put the lines on there that I think are relevant, especially to the institutional trading algorithms that really drive these paper markets. So the key line here as support that I'm looking at right now, there's an uptrend line that goes back well over 2 years. And that support is held. And currently that line is obviously it's upsloping, but right now it's about 1750 or a few bucks above that. As long as we hold above that primary uptrend line, I mean, the technical damage is minimal in the price of gold here. However, to confirm a technical reversal, we want to see that 200-day moving average clear to the upside and then 1920. Getting above 1920 would be a higher high, and then you could have some confirmation that the worst is in. So those are the few levels that I'm watching here in gold.
Yes, Stephen. Also, you know, it being an inverse head and shoulders pattern, if those do resolve to the upside, they generally have a nice pop to the upside out of that. So that would be something that at least gold investors could be at least more on the positive side with. But I have a question for you. You know, I listened to your weekend update to subscribers, and you mentioned, you would be concerned if that 1675 level broke, which would be the head of this inverse head and shoulders. And off mic, I had asked you, you know, if you think back about, you know, about 2 years back, there was a November low at around 1444. Then we had the pandemic crash in March to around 1450, and then, which was higher than the previous low. And then we had that double bottom in March, which was really 1673 and 1677. We'll call it 1675-ish. You know, as long as that's not broken, then we still have a pattern of higher lows, even though we also simultaneously have a pattern of lower highs. So it's kind of compressing down. But if that inverse head and shoulder pattern does resolve to the upside, would you expect that, you know, we actually have broken this downtrend and that that would actually break the downtrend of that larger cup and handle pattern, the handle part of it?
Yeah, if we do break out to the upside, I think then the worst would be over if we clear 1920. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about the long-term cup and handle pattern on like a 10-plus year chart of gold. And once we break out, you typically have symmetry on the upside. So it took about, just over a year now, or closing in on a year, for this downtrend channel. So it's reasonable to expect, if we have symmetry on the way back up as we carve out that handle, that it could take about a year to get back to that 2089 high. Now, that's not like something a lot of gold investors want to hear, but just looking at the charts, you know, that's reasonable to expect once we break out of this downtrend channel and clear 1920. You're right. 1675, we do not want to lose that. I mean, if we lose 1675, that's a new lower low and would signal that a lot more time is needed to digest the technical damage that's been inflicted on these charts.
Gold really seems to be in a pretty important position right here, because even if it drops, let's say, another $100, that gives up all of the gains that gold investors, at least in the metal, saw from post-pandemic trading, which was a pretty good environment there. But you know what? Gold was also on an uptrend before the pandemic hit too. So kind of that balancing act, but boy, oh boy, it really needs a bounce. Let's move over to the next chart here, being silver. Silver's held up relatively well, way better than gold during this 11-month correction, but we are starting to see some weakness today. And even in this chart that you're pointing out, we are closing in, even losing some, at least short-term support. But then the next support down to 2375. Look, silver is kind of stuck, and now it's showing some weakness. How concerned do we need to be about this weakness in silver currently after it withstood a lot of that selling pressure in gold over the last 11 months?
Yeah, exactly. We've talked in the past about the gold to silver ratio and how that ratio had really compressed really far, really fast. It peaked up near like 130-1, which is historic, back in March of last year. And then over the preceding few months, it compressed all the way down to like 65-1. So silver had outperformed gold by a factor of roughly 2. And you know, I expected that ratio to kind of back and fill a little bit. And obviously there's two ways that can happen. You know, silver can grind sideways while gold rallies, or silver can fall. So that's what we're hoping does not happen. And we did just today, we're speaking on Monday, the 19th here, and we just lost key support at 2558. We lost the 200-day moving average. So I think the path of least resistance in silver is probably at this point a back test of 2375 support. That was the March lows, and that was also the lows back in December of 2020. And then I think probably a worst case scenario, if we do lose 2375, would be support down at $22. I'm not necessarily predicting that, but even if that did happen, it would take a close below 22 to really signal, perhaps we need to revisit the timeline for when silver makes its big move here. So, I'm not overly concerned as long as $22 holds.
Yeah, Steve, that's a good point, because for the longest time, for years, and I'm pretty active in the silver and mining side of things, and we heard from the miners when silver was 13 and 14 and 16 and 18 that, boy, if we just get above $20, we're really going to do well, because silver producers almost across the board are making money at $20. So even in the longer term outlook, if you see silver going down and testing the 23 or even the 22 level, the producers will be fine and companies that have solid projects will be fine. But we also know that silver tends to lag gold in the very beginning on an upside or a downside move, and then it plays catch up. So this whole time that gold's been under pressure, let's say since August of last year, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop with silver and waiting for it to do one of those fall out of bed moments that shock and disappoint everybody, and we see that big swoon down. But let's just say that silver does get down to one of those key support levels. Do you think, because often the miners in silver will lag gold in the beginning, and then they'll play catch up, and then they'll outperform. And you'll see the silver miners or the gold miners outperform gold, and you'll see silver outperform gold to the upside or downside. Let's say silver does have that corrective move down to the 23 level or even that 22 level of support. Would you then be looking at starting to do some bottom fishing at those levels, thinking that, hey, that support is also, while it needs to hold, is also a good place to potentially buy and position in some of these companies and even in the metal itself?
I do, yeah. And I think you're bringing up probably the most important point that gets easily overlooked. And that's number one, a personal strategy, and number two, position sizing. And, you know, everyone needs to have a personal strategy, right? And I feel like a lot of people perhaps don't have a, you know, a well-established strategy. So personally, I scale in on weakness towards, on pullbacks towards key support levels. So I've got a little bit of cash reserved to add if we pull back to 2375. And if that fails, yeah, I'll be adding as we pull back, if we pull back towards 22. So that's my personal strategy, but that, you know, that's not suitable for everyone. You know, another strategy could be to simply dollar cost average, or the more conservative approach that's employed by some of the wealthiest investors out there is to simply wait for a technical reversal. There's nothing wrong with just sitting tight here and waiting for the trend to reverse and maybe for price to get back above the 200-day moving average. So I think those are things that individual investors need to think about. But as far as what I'm doing, yeah, I'll be scaling in on weakness. And it's also interesting to note that the mining stocks are extremely oversold relative to the metal. So I think we're probably closer to a bottom in the miners than in the actual metals. And that would apply to both gold and silver miners.
Well, the miners have sure gotten hit hard, and they were getting hit just over the last couple of weeks, too, as gold was more or less moving sideways, which, again, is another sign today. But how concerned are you that, look, gold miners, gold stocks, and silver do usually lead the metal? And I understand that some of these, gold miners especially, are oversold, but they're both selling off pretty hard, and now silver's starting to play catch-up to the downside. Doesn't that mean that we could see some more downward pressure on gold?
Yeah, it sure does. So here's two simple technical rules that I look at. Whenever you're oversold or that RSI is below 30 and you're approaching a key support level, there's a statistically high likelihood that price is going to bounce and that support level will hold. And you can also flip that and apply that to when things get overbought and the RSI is above 70 and you're approaching key resistance. There's a very good statistical likelihood that resistance will fail, or that we won't break through it. So right now we're deeply oversold. We're just above some key support levels. So I think there's a good chance that we at least bounce here. Now, if that happens, the key test is going to happen when we test the next resistance level. Is it a dead cat bounce and then we go on and make lower lows, or can we start to carve out a bottom here? I'm more inclined to think we're closer to a bottom than a top, but you know, my crystal ball is broken. You know, we try and deal in probabilities, and caution is certainly warranted here for the next couple months.
Steve, on the GDX chart that you sent over to us, you've got a strong level of support around the $30 zone. So we're still above that to some degree here. But how important is that zone to hold? Because it does go back. There's a number of prior peaks and troughs that kind of cross through that zone, and there's a couple intersections at a recent bottom GDX had. So how important is it for investors to watch and see if that GDX level holds around 30, let's call it?
Yeah, I think 30 is like the equivalent of 1675 in gold. Like that's a level you want to see hold, just like $22 is in silver. I mean, if we fall weekly closing basis below $30 on GDX, that's going to signal that we need more time to consolidate, and that we could have more weakness ahead over the months ahead. But I do think $30 is very likely to hold if we do pull back that far.
All right. Well, Steve, I'm going to post all of these charts. There is also a silver miners chart here that you've outlined some key support that SILJ is also getting very close to. So, look, a lot to take in here. Either way, whether you want to have that strategy of scaling into some of these stocks as they are falling or waiting for that turn, you do need to be cautious because, look, I realize stuff is oversold, but that doesn't mean it can stay oversold for a while and you can lose another 10, 20, 30% off your investment. And it's the middle of summer. It's not worth it to try to be nitpicking on some of these on low volume especially. So I don't know. Everybody, manage your portfolio as you wish. But hey, Steve always has some great ideas on how he's scaling into stocks, even during these downtrends. Steve, thanks for your time, buddy. Really appreciate your comments. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.